We need to learn to honor the divine within all things. And the problem of living a sacred life is that we get lost in the separation of what looks like what we call ordinary, and then at separate times, what looks like what we call sacred. We get lost in the familiarity of doing things on the physical plane, not with honoring, but with separateness. And so, as I say to you very often, one of the ways to learn how to do this is through being in a constant state of bowing. Bowing is not just an outer bowing. Bowing is an inner bowing, and it has so many beautiful parts to it. It has the experience of awe, that something is given as the miraculous comes to us unbidden. And in order to experience awe, you have to open your eyes. You have to see what there is to feel awe about. So that has to do with not taking anything for granted. If we take things for granted, if we don't see the miraculous, then there's nothing to feel awe about, and there's nothing to honor. But our souls, each one of us has a soul that's perceiving things not according to our physical eyes, but according to our inner perception of truth. So if you take all that I'm saying on the level of spiritual concept and you take it down to one word, it would be truth. Your own soul is desiring to be in truth with life and with yourself. And that's a perpetual work in progress until there's freedom that comes from being united with the divine. Then there's no problem about working. Then there's just the flow. But until then, the way of being in honoring the divine is to look for the deepest truth within yourself. So ask yourself how often you do that, and when you don't do that, when you get caught up in the fear of meeting other people's expectations, or wondering how you should be, or being afraid of being laughed at because you have an idea that nobody's spoken about, an idea that wants to come into being through your consciousness, but nobody else has suggested that it's a good idea. So here's the complexity and the mystery of how the divine interacts with the human, right here, in this place of living from truth. Living from truth would take us, if we could be there, to the truth of our soul. What is our purpose for being here? Wouldn't necessarily come in words, but it would come in a feeling of rightness, of expression. But we get so involved with the external requirements of living according to other people that we don't get there. We get to the place of doubt or self-invalidation, and we don't give ourselves space to be in truth. And then there's fear of not knowing. Being in truth, if I brought that out further, if I brought out my own deepest truth. And here again I want to say, God desires in the purpose for creation that each embodied soul express their deepest truth. That is the purpose for creation, with the understanding that the deepest truth is the same as divine truth, that there's no separation. But we're so caught up in fear of being that, fear of being unique, fear of not knowing what that's going to look like. So then the mind gets involved and says, what is that going to look like? But that's not the right question. What is it going to look like? The question is, what is your deepest truth? What do you feel? What wants to express if you could give it space? Every single soul on the earth is meant to be original. Every single soul. Original in expression and unified in foundation, in origin, in essence. But we compromise, and we compromise with other people. We don't let them be who they are. We don't let ourselves be who we are. We don't let them be who they are. And so then a split develops between our human self and our divine perception, in which we say namaste, or we say I bow to the divine within you, and we do that for 1 second, but in the next second we're no longer bowing, because we're no longer connected with our own divine truth. So then the spiritual principle goes to one level of our consciousness, and then our ordinary life goes to the other level, and then we try on, you know, meditation time, or on coming here, or doing something that's a spiritual practice, we bring them together. But the reason that they're not together is because we're afraid to live from them. So we separate during the week, and then on Sundays, or whatever you do for your own spiritual practice, we give ourselves space. So when you think, what would it look like if I was in my deepest truth? There's no answer, because the answer is flow. The answer is that it will come to you, but you have to be willing to express it. There's no answer of what it would look like, because in that question, you're trying to see yourself from outer eyes. That's the opposite of what we're meant to live as. We're meant to live from the inside out, not from the outside in. So when you ask what it would look like, what would it look like to somebody else who's looking at me? It's the wrong question. There has to be faith in our own devotion to our own deepest truth in order to perceive the world as divine. There has to be faith that the two are connected, what we feel is the essence of who we are and the divine purpose that we're here to serve. And if, as it happens, that we're busy, as many of us are, dealing with the challenges of life, working or taking care of children or taking care of students or serving in a service setting, if we're busy and we're focused on outer things, that's fine. Temporarily, we can still feel, okay, now I'm doing this, but then come back to yourself. Then come back to asking, what truth am I in right now? Come back to yourself. Have the space to not get lost in some other sense of purpose than the one that's truest. Ultimately, this is a temporary stage, because ultimately, there's no separation between divine intention and your own soul purpose. Ultimately, it's all the same, and one would feel that. You'd feel that no matter what you were doing. No matter what you were doing, it would feel all like flow. But in the meantime, come back to yourself. Come back to asking. And that's why I wanted to ask Matthew about singing, because I feel in that chant, the calling out to Durga, is all of humanity calling out to Durga. All of humanity is calling out, saying, how can I find you within myself? How can I find you? So that's up to each one of us to ask that question. How can I find you within myself? But every soul longs for that. Every soul, without exception, including those who don't have a spiritual life, including those who don't believe that God is real, including those who scoff and mock and all kinds of other things, every soul is longing for connection with the deepest meaning of who they are, their deepest truth. But we here who are endeavoring to be more conscious of what the connection is between the human and the divine, we have a responsibility to all who benefit from our truth, and to ourselves, to come back to ourselves. And if we've left, to come back. And if we've left again, to come back. And to keep coming back. And to keep asking, to be shown, what am I meant to do in this moment? What is my deepest truth? And to not get caught up in roles. And to not be just willing to be defined by the social cultural expectations, and to be willing to be original. I say original, but the word that most often comes up in relation to fear is the fear of being different. I'm saying original because that's the truth. Each soul is created as a unique expression of the divine, and that divine flow has to come through you because it can't come through somebody else. It's yours. It's yours to shepherd. It's yours. And the great beauty of the universe that's in this music, this song, and lots of others as well, is that the calling out always produces a response. Imagine that. That's a universal truth, that prayer and calling out is always effective. We think it's not because we're looking for certain ways of feeling we're being heard, like words coming to us, or some sign, you know, did you hear me, God? Were you listening? Are you there? I'm knocking on the door, did you hear? And we're looking for a sign, but it's not always a sign that comes in that synchronistic way, and it's not always words. When you pray, we're dealing with a malleable universe like this. We in the universe are interrelated at all times, so we press into it, we yearn into it, we lean into it, and the universe can't help but respond because it's bound to us, the whole universe. We're one with the universe. So all prayer is answered, but it may be answered in your life, not in your thought process. It's like that. We are in a fluid environment, and we put ourselves leaning into it, and then the environment reshapes itself to our leaning. That's a divine life, but we have to choose it. And the place of getting lost is getting lost in the physical realm of roles and expectations and fearing being original. And you deliberately saying that word over and over so you can translate different into original, you know, like that, which seems like a good thing. The Divine Mother is that part of the Supreme Being that is the All, that lives within, that is the soul of everything. The Divine Mother is the inner soul of every living thing, everything. Not just human beings, every living thing. So we, at this time in our history, are praying to the Divine Mother, not exclusively, because the two are not separate, Mother, Father aren't separate, but in our desire to recognize the soul that lives within us, to be able to live our life as a sacred life, we bow at this time in our history to the Divine Mother so that we can feel that way of holding all of life within the divine fabric of life. Nobody can do this for you. Nobody can make your life appear miraculous if you reduce things to the level of just the physical, just this. And when I say reduce, I understand that there are energies at work. I never forget that, and nor should you, because there are other energies at work. Even so, in the presence of those energies that are at work, that want to compress you, invalidate you, make it seem like you're less than you are, whatever that reduction is, that limitation. Never, never, never think that you're the energy. Always, always calling out is possible. Always. And that's the value of that chant. And it's the value of prayer. And it's the value of taking space between the busy things that you're doing in the day to reach out to the divine. It's one of the reasons that I feel that Islam is so beautiful, because of the way in which it incorporates structurally that devotional expression throughout the day. And I'm sure that there are other traditions that do that, but Islam in particular, if one is deeply involved with the meaning and purpose, requires that focus on devotion. Whereas we in the West have a little bit of a focus on devotion and a little bit we're allergic to it. We've gone in the direction which looks like a split in consciousness between freedom and surrender. This is a big split that's happening in our culture. So it looks like freedom has to do with self-empowerment and surrender has to do with giving up empowerment. That's how people portray it in our Western culture. Surrender versus empowerment. what I say, and we'll talk about this another time. What self are you empowering? From what place are you speaking of empowering yourself? Who is the self anyway? So it's taken to the level of combat between freedom and surrender, and that's a whole subject in itself. But for us here who are desiring to know ourselves better and to know God better, the reaching out is what is most important. The calling out, the yearning out, leaning into the universe. Leaning into the universe. I like that gesture, leaning into the universe. Leaning into the arms of the mother. Leaning. So I encourage everyone who wants to do that. And this is a blessed time in which the energy of the Divine Mother is manifesting more strongly because it's her time upon the earth. Her time after being unseen, except within certain circumscribed traditions that have maintained that consciousness. And within Hinduism as well, which isn't circumscribed but has not been so much joined with the West. This is the time of the Divine Mother recognizing ourselves as souls, recognizing all beings as souls, understanding what the meaning of bowing is. We bow to the divine within all, and let that be the way we go through our days and we go through our encounters with life, that we strive to be in a perpetual state of bowing. Namaste.